Any questions?
Yeah, I would like to ask the group, I need to get an accessible thermostat, and I'd like advice from anyone on talking versus ones operated by apps. I've never had an accessible thermostat other than one with Imarks on it.
There's some apps that are available with particular thermostats. I'll let you talk about that because I think you have it, Mecca.
Yes.
And the other one is talking. There's a talking thermostats.
Yeah, right.
Those I didn't have when I got my accessible thermostats. The apps weren't where they are today, so I got thermostats from TalkingThermostats.com. The guy was terrific.
Yeah, they're good.
He's great.
He was great. Yeah. Sent me accessible documentation. Sent me all the information. Responded to my inquiry even while he was on vacation. So if you're looking for an actual physical thermostat that you can definitely operate totally independently, that's where I'd go.
I'll also say that I researched these a year or two ago, and I also spoke to the gentleman for quite a while from Talking Thermostats, and he was also, you know, quite interested in the apps part of this, but they just kind of weren't there yet, and they have some constraints with their supply manufacturers, but he was also very helpful in the research that I did. So I have the Nest thermostat, which is probably the most popular app-enabled thermostat. The app is somewhat accessible as far as just basic operations, like being able to turn it into away mode and turn it off from away mode or make temperature adjustments. You can also raise and lower the temperature with the thermostat itself by kind of turning it left and right, and it makes a little clicking sound when you do that. The scheduling interface is not accessible, but it's not quite as bad as that might sound, because the Nest sort of programs its own schedule based on what you do. So if you go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and turn it down every day, it'll notice that after a while and then just start turning it down automatically. You don't necessarily have to quote-unquote program it. It just kind of learns, and you can override it, you know, within the schedule, but it's constantly learning your schedule. Mm-hmm. So let's say on Monday nights you don't get home until like 10 p.m., it's going to figure that out and be like, hey, you know, I'm not going to turn the heat up until, you know, 9:30 or so on Mondays, but every other day I'll turn it up at 5 o'clock. Like, I just went in a few minutes ago to my Nest app to check the temperature in the house, so you can do that. So I saw it was 75 degrees, so then I used the Wemo app, which is something totally different, but I used that to turn on my air conditioner.
Does it between AC and heat pretty well?
It can. I only use it with heat because I don't have central air, but I know that it can work with both. I spoke to a gentleman that's been using a Honeywell thermostat, and I guess that's worked pretty well with the app as well, so I can get some more information on that and send it to Amy. So before the Nest, I basically just had your typical round thermostat. So I mean,
with the Imarks on it?
No. Just wait, you know.
Oh, just guessing, yes.
Yeah. I'm glad that I haven't, even though it's not perfect, it's still an improvement and an upgrade, you know, for what I have, just the basic thermostat before. But I think the Nest company definitely needs to hear from more blind people. You know, I have submitted feedback to them, but my sense is that a lot of people haven't contacted them. AFB actually wrote an article, if you want to peruse Access World, there is an article where it talks a little bit about it, but there's definitely more Nest can. And besides the app, they also have a web browser that you can interact with your schedule and thermostat by a computer. I mean, if everybody in this room contacted the company, you know, they may have a little more initiative to work on it.
Does this thermostat now have to have either cell phone access or internet access to be able to talk to it?
Yeah, it has to connect to your Wi-Fi network. So you associate it with your home Wi-Fi, and then it talks to the internet.
The one that Mecca's talking about, yes. The one from thermostats.com, no. You don't have any cell phone access. It's a physical piece of hardware that talks.
I'm looking for a publishing software to write a book. And I have JAWS 13 and Windows and PC. So I wanted to know if anybody's had any experience with Microsoft Publisher.
Microsoft Publishers.
Oh, definitely not.
A question to ask is, why not use Microsoft Word?
Yeah, why not just write it? Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, I haven't found a way of, I'm about 3/4 of the way through with my book, and I haven't found yet how to be able to make galleys that are good that can then be sent off to a publisher. So if you have documentation that would be able to guide me through, I just haven't been able to find anything yet in my Microsoft that has been able to make that happen. So
because the publishers want it in a particular format.
Yeah.
I'd be finishing that book in Word, paying somebody to convert the file.
Yeah.
I know that's what a friend of mine who writes books, that's what she does.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that, but it's
I know.
I can do that.
I wonder if anybody had any experience with Windows 8 and JAWS.
I've seen Windows 8. I've played on a computer with Windows 8 in JAWS for a couple of hours.
I'm trying to get a computer. I'm wondering if I could stick with Windows 7 or a couple of Windows 8.
Do you have a JAWS license right now?
I don't, but I was thinking of getting Windows 14. But
JAWS 14.
JAWS 14, yeah. Okay.
And the new JAWS is coming out or about to come out?
Yeah, 15 is coming out soon.
If you're going to get a new version of JAWS, it will work with Windows 8. I mean, it would have been a concern if you say you had an older version of JAWS and you may want to go with it.
And it's unaccessible JAWS is like now with Windows 8.
Oh, the operating system is accessible.
Yeah.
Whether or not you find it usable is a different thing.
Yeah, I think what are you using now? Let's step back.
Right now, I'm not using Windows, I'm using a Mac, but from what I've seen so far, Windows 7 is pretty good from what I've seen of it.
My experience is this. Windows 8 is accessible.
Yeah.
It is not as easily usable. I don't find it as convenient to use as Windows 7.
Okay.
Now, Windows 8.1, they're saying they're going to put some of the same functionality back into what they took away with Windows 8. The biggest issue with Windows 8 that I've seen is that there are all these tiles. They use all these tiles, and so if you just want to search for something, you can type it in and it will come up.
Yeah.
But the problem is that some of these tiles are not uniform, so that they come in irregular rows, and sometimes the screen readers aren't perfect at being able to make sure that they land. You can't just tab through and land consecutively one tile to another, so you may have some difficulty finding the correct tiles that you're looking for.
You mean like with the different icons on the desktop?
Yeah, they're not called icons anymore. They're called tiles.
Oh. Yeah, well, there's two different things.
There's a desktop.
There's a desktop. It's pretty much a desktop.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
What she's talking about is instead of a start menu, they have a start screen, which is broken up into tiles because they kind of want to keep the same metaphor as the tablets and the smartphones type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is navigable. In fact, you actually navigate it more so the way you would navigate something in Apple with the left and right as opposed to up and down and tabbing like you're used to. It's just if you're used to like using an older version of Windows, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're coming from a Mac, it may not be that.
It might not be such a curve.
Could I ask the Dow question since I know I'm going to be buying a computer soon? If I were to buy one tomorrow, Frank, would it be your advice at this point to still stick with Windows 7?
Not necessarily, no.
You can't buy Windows 7.
Yes, you can.
Is it still, from your understanding of what's going on in the market, something that is, going to be around for a while?
Yes, I can tell you it will. And the reason for that is because there's a large number of multiple unit installations, like government installations and stuff like that, that have gone to Windows 7. So it's going to be supported for quite a while.
They didn't stop. They're not stopping supporting Windows XP until 2014.
Right, yeah.
So you can imagine Windows 7 support is going to be around for a very long time. If you want to go to Windows 8, I think you certainly can, and you can learn it. It depends. I mean, I do think if you want an easier transition from Windows XP, I would probably say Windows 7.
I have Windows 8, and I currently use it even right on my laptop, but I can tell you I'm very frustrated. Now, I save a document, and then for me to go and retrieve that document, I mean, I spend more time looking for this document.
So I find Windows XP is still working, but it doesn't support a lot of the more platforms these days. Is that why people are using Windows 7 more?
Well, Windows XP is just a very old operating system. So,
well, at least people use Windows 7 is because, from a retail standpoint, people go into the store and they buy what's on the store shelf.
Right. You can't buy a Windows XP computer anymore. Yeah, there's a lot of good things on
Windows XP that I miss, like AliExpress.
Yeah.
Some.
I would not suggest that, especially because as of in 2014, when it's no longer supported, you're also not going to get any Windows updates and and security fixes and all of that. So people who have really stuck with XP need to really think about that, because you're not going to have the security fixes and so forth, and you leave yourself vulnerable. Yeah?
I'm just wondering if anybody has purchased the Seeing Eye GPS
yes.
app?
Yes.
What their experience is, how you feel about it?
Depends upon, my experience is it depends upon where you are. I found some places where it works really well. This by the way, is the Sendero Group app for the iPhone that's just come out, the iDevices. I find that around my area, it's pretty good. It does give you great descriptions. The thing I like probably most about it is it gives you great descriptions of the intersections that you are coming up to. I was in Maine and I didn't find that it did as well, for example, as Blind Square did in identifying places and doing things with appropriate distance.
There's this thing called the wand. Is that what you're talking about? How does that work?
The way the wand is supposed to work is that you should be able to turn it on and sort of point it around with your little wand and give you an idea of what's around. I haven't had good success with that.
No.
Sounds like around me. Well,
the difference being is that it won't just tell you it's around you, but it actually could tell in relation to where you're pointing the phone. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And I haven't had a lot of success with it.
Is it separate or is it part of the Seeing Eye app?
It's part of the app.
It's part of the app.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is you can't set your own POIs yet, and that's something they are working on, but they haven't done. They didn't have a way to just let somebody try it, so unfortunately you have to buy it. You can't just try it. And they only had two options. One was a one-year subscription, and the other was a three-year. The thing I will say is anybody who was an early adopter, one nice thing they did is when they came out with version 1.1, which came out about a month after the initial release, they reset everybody's clock, so you actually get an extra month if you were an early adopter. And I do think they are trying to be very responsive to feedback. Two of the things people have asked most about it were, can you set your own POIs, and also will it work with the lock screen locked? Because right now, it does not.
No.
And that's a real battery drain.
There's a major issue with the price as well.
Yeah.
You're renting it as opposed to buying.
Right.
So that's
it's $69 for 1 year, and it's $129 for three. And I think that was a huge controversy that this started. And I think you can look at it two ways. You can say, hey, I'm buying, I'm spending a lot of money. Or you can say, I'm investing in a company that's had 20 years experience and is likely to be around and continue to do this. So you're kind of investing in their product as opposed to...
I think the biggest thing I would say about it is that if you're going to get it, be aware ahead of time that it's very basic. It lacks almost all the frills that other GPS programs like Navigon have. It really is very basic. If what you want to do is create pedestrian routes and go walking around and find places, it's pretty good at that. It's quite good at it.
And the other thing is, if you want one app that I think ultimately will do, I think once they develop it further, I do believe that it's more like, it'll do things. One of my things about sometimes you have to use several apps at once to get all the information you want. And I think eventually the Seeing Eye GPS app, hopefully as they develop it, will have more of those things built into one app. I mean, I think that's the hope.
Yeah, the Seeing Eye app is very easy to use. It's very blind friendly because it was made for us. And I think it's got a lot of merit. And I think it's going to get better.
That's what I think. Yeah, I think it's got potential is what I'd say. Yeah.
Does anybody have experience with computer software for optimization or... So it does all the things like registry cleaning and defragmenting. And there are programs that do everything, keep your computer tuned all the time, so to speak.
I've had lots of bad experiences with those.
Yeah,
programs.
I've had
very good experiences with a lot of those.
Yeah,
similar. Did all that.
Yeah. No, you know what? If you want to keep your computer maintained, do it yourself. Go through the steps. I've seen some computers struck unusable by those programs.
Those programs tend to
charge you a lot of money to fix the problem, and they just
And they tend to mislead you about how badly messed up your computer is. They'll say, they'll run a scan and say there were 795 problems found, when really you may have seven problems that are significant, most of which, if not all, can be fixed by running error checker, disk cleanup, and defrag.
Right.
I have a friend who is running IE8 on a Windows XP computer, and Peapod has made some changes which render her computer unable to access the login screen. The login screens for her account for Peapod?
The Peapod login, okay.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I have my work computer. I don't have IE8 on anything other than my work computer. So I literally painstakingly went through every single setting on my IE8 on my work computer because I have no problem getting to the login screen on Peapod. And I copied every setting, tried first on the phone, and then ultimately went to her house and made sure all of her settings were the exact same as mine. I disabled all add-ons that she had going on IE. I am dead in the water.
You did go to the cookies and the cache, you know.
Oh, no. I started from scratch. Yeah. I also...
When you access Peapod, where does it take you?
Oh, I can get on the Peapod site. But if I go to try to log in, it says login overlay. And then that's all, but then you don't get anything. You don't get you usually get in your email address and your password and all those fields. None of those come up.
What color scheme is she using on her screen?
Oh, no, she's using your basic.
Okay, because I have found certain things.
Yeah, well, she's totally blind, so she's not going to change any colors.
Well, all right, but just
it's a good question. It's a good question.
Have you had a sighted person look to see if the stuff is actually there?
I have not had a sighted person, no. I don't. She doesn't have a sighted person in her house, and I haven't brought anybody with me. I called Peapod, and they said, oh, I think somebody else has had that problem. We'll get back to you. They never did.
I mean, this is a long shot, but you know how on the Internet, you probably checked this already, Internet Explorer settings, how you can determine how it handles pop-ups and new windows. Have you tried looking at that?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I've spent 7 to 8 hours on this problem, and I'm dead in the water. I am just
at least while you're there, you could try it with Firefox just to...
Yeah, and I'm going to do that just to see what the deal... I suspect it's something in IE. Yeah. I do, because as I say, I can use my IE and it's fine.
And did you reset IE entirely?
Yeah, the other problem I'm having, the other little wrinkle to this lovely mess is that she just changed ISPs and her download speeds the day I was there. She hasn't had a problem at other times, but her download speeds the day I was there were terrible. So making any changes or like Windows updates were painfully, so I didn't have enough time. I would have had to have moved in for the weekend.
Well, speaking of Firefox, I have a question. I've been noticing lately that even though I have auto page refresh turned off, I'll be arrowing down through a web page, and when I get about 2/3 of the way down, all of a sudden it jumps all the way to the bottom.
Only in Firefox it happens?
I think it might have happened in Internet Explorer, but I'm not sure about that. But it's definitely Firefox and definitely on different web pages. I hear like a little and it goes all the way to the bottom.
Could that be something to do with dynamic content, like Aria and stuff like that?
Could be.
I've seen that behavior using IE.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, there are a couple of people who mentioned that their computers at work have been changed and they all went into Windows 7. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious. I wonder what they did with the old computers, the ones they took out.
I can tell you a little story about that. And I'm not going to say, it's a major financial company based here in Boston. I won't say which one. So I don't get sued. They used to donate computers to any charity that came along said they wanted computers. Then came along someone who had one of their donated computers and their hard drive failed, and they lost their information, and they sued X company. As a result, they do not donate any computers within the United States anymore.
Again, returning to the cleaning up of the computer, a friend has suggested going to Staples or the microcomputers store, that they have the service that they will check out your computer for problems or to clean up. Or what about those other services that will either come to your home and you have to bring your computer to them?
My question why you would do that, I mean, do you feel like it's a problem?
I don't feel confident enough to do it myself. I have some problems. In the past, I have a friend who has brought it to it's a service and it's a computer store in Newton. He will do all these procedures that we were speaking about. And I did that recently, but I still have some problems.
Did you pay for that service in Newton?
Yes.
Then I would bring it back to Newton and say, you didn't fix this. In my experience, unless you are bringing it to somebody who you know really knows what they're doing and won't do any harm to your computer, then I would be very careful. We had an emergency situation in my household in which my daughter, who was home for all of like 3 days, was having trouble with her computer, and I went to Best Buy. And I'm telling you right now, I knew so much more than the person with whom I was dealing. There was no way I was going to let them touch the computer. I ended up leaving without ever letting them touch it because, and I'm no hardware expert, but boy, I knew enough to know they didn't know squat.
In the PC warehouse, at least in Providence, Warwick, Rhode Island, came recommended, and I took my computers there. I don't know what stores they had around here, but I would take it there anytime before I take it to Best Buy.
I think it just depends. I just get very reticent because it depends upon the individual technician, not just the store. Well, there's the computer place in Medford that I've gone to, and there's a couple of technicians that I have thought were really good. They've got a couple of other people I won't let touch my computer. So it really depends upon whether you know somebody who's had good success. But if you've paid for services in Newton and they didn't fix your computer, I'd bring it right back and tell them they got to fix it.
But you know, that's an issue everywhere with technicians, just like it is with mechanics or anybody else. I had an issue with a modem, a Verizon modem, and two technicians insisted that the problem wasn't at their end, and I kept insisting it was the modem. I called the next day and happened to get another guy, and he said, oh yeah, we've had problems with that particular model for quite a while, and replaced it. So, you know, it's the luck of the draw, and unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
There's another issue involved, too, is that I'm not sure what you paid me. I'm not really beyond divulge it, but there's a point as to how much is it really worth to you to actually fix it. I mean, I've heard people with, you know, 8-year-old computers saying, I'm going to take my computer to a shop and spend $300 and fix my computer. I don't see what to do now. If you could to yourself describe a problem, and you need to do this when you're talking to a technician anyway, because you need to describe a problem to your technician. If you could summarize your problem within one sentence, generally you could Google that.
Yep.
I suspect a lot of other people have that problem too. And not that you may be able to fix it, but at least you could find out what's involved with fixing it. And you can make a call whether or not you want to take it to a shop based on that.
iPhone 5, when I plug it into my laptop and I'm using my hotspot, and I did Google this and found out that thousands of other people have the problem, but I couldn't find an answer to it. I start getting this, I think it's an IP address conflict error that says two devices are plugged into the same IP address, and I have no idea how to fix it. It's the thing still works, but I just have to get out of that message.
That dial, time. Yeah.
I think, when you plug in directly through the cable, it overrides the wireless connection. I could be wrong about that, though.
It may not turn that off.
I don't think it does.
But the setup is going to be like.
I know with computer stores, Amy, wasn't there a store that Tim and other people had?
Yeah, that I used, yeah.
Is that the one in Medford?
That's the one in Medford that I'm talking about. God, they just changed their name. I can send it to you. It used to be called Medford Micro, and now it's called, what is it now? Axiom, I think it's called. I tried to access a site while I was away, both on an iPad and an iPhone, and I couldn't get the login screens and edit fields to come up. When I got home on a Windows PC, it worked fine, which means to me it had Flash. Is there, and I hear there's a plugin that you can install or an app that you can install that will allow you to access Flash content. Does anybody know what that is? Because I'm told there is one.
I remember thinking about getting one about 6 months ago and researched it, and it sounded like it weren't all that great or all that stable.
I don't know, because somebody I know who's a TVI said she knows it and it works, but she couldn't remember the name of it, so I just thought I'd ask.
If there are any cases that will accommodate iPhone keyboards for traveling purposes. The Apple iPhone keyboard?
Yeah. Oh, the standard Bluetooth?
Yeah.
There's something called the origami case that you could buy. However, you're still going to have to give it a little more protection. It'll cover over the keys, but there's still I don't know if you're trying to keep it from being bumped.
Yeah.
I have a sleeve, actually, that I bought where I put it in so that the button is innermost so it doesn't get hit, and it's never turned on when I didn't want it to.
And you just found that online somewhere?
Yeah.